nearby to where I grew up, there's this interesting old building known as the Bottle Tower. It's quite odd to look at, and I always remember thinking, what was its purpose? What was it built for? And then it was explained to me that it's a type of building known as a folly. And a folly is this ornate building that has little or no purpose whatsoever. And you see these all throughout the country. And many of them were built during times of famine to give work to people that were hungry. But besides being curious things to look at, they have no real function or purpose. And you know, for many people, they look at church communities and they think they're a bit like a folly. That they keep people busy, they've got interesting buildings to look at, but beyond that, they have no useful purpose. But of course, church does have a purpose. It's the greatest purpose of all. We exist to love God, love others, and to make disciples. The problem is that churches forget that, or we focus on one part of it and neglect the others, leading us to become ineffective at doing it. We're doing a series on the essential questions of church. And this is part three. And if you haven't seen part one and two, then I encourage you to go back and watch them and you can find them on our website. But today we're asking the question, what is the purpose of church? The whole of the Bible explains what the purpose of church is, but it is expressed simply in the greatest commandment and in the Great Commission. Jesus was once asked by an expert in the Jewish law what the greatest commandment was. And this was a way to test him. But Jesus replies to him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." The first purpose of church is to love God, or what we call worship. God is our creator and we worship him for who he is. We worship God because he is good, because he is just, because he is powerful and kind and wise and holy. And we love him for what he has done for us, because he made us, because he provides for us, because he cares for us. And through his son, he has saved us. And we worship God in lots of ways, by singing, by being thankful, by praying, by listening to his word, through giving and serving, and by living a life of obedience. Worship is the first purpose of the church, and it's also the most important thing for all humanity. The Westminster Catechism begins by saying that man's chief aim is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Church exists to love God and to love others. Jesus was asked what is the greatest commandment, and Jesus replies with two, because they're the two sides of the one coin. The love of God is inseparable from the love of others. But what exactly does it mean to love our neighbor as ourselves? So often when we think about love, we think of it just as an emotional response to someone or something because they make us feel happy. But in the Bible, love is so much more than that. It's also a choice we make in how we treat other people, regardless of how they make us feel. It's putting the needs of others equal to, if not above, the needs of our own. And we as a church are called to love three categories of people. We're called to love each other. That's the other people in our local church. We're to encourage them and to care for them and to carry each other's burdens and practically share and provide for each other. We're called to love our neighbours, our neighbourhood. So those in our community. You know, the businesses, the homes, the schools near our church are to be blessed by us. And we're also called to love those that are in need, whether it's those in our community, those in our country, or all over the world, to practically give what we can to help those that are in the most need. As a church, we are commanded by Jesus to love God and to love others. But we've also been commissioned to make disciples. Just after Jesus' resurrection and before he ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples, which were the church of the time, a job to do. And let me read to you what he says in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus has commissioned his church to make disciples. A disciple is simply somebody who trusts in Jesus and somebody who, by his help, tries to live like Jesus. And this is just really key. That church is not just a community of disciples, but we are a community of disciple-making disciples. Our goal should be to try and see more and more people come to faith in Jesus. Church is not a cruise ship where Christians just put in time until they get to heaven. No, church is a search and rescue vessel, and we are on a mission to save people out of sin and despair and bring them into the hope and salvation of Christ. We are commissioned to make disciples. And we make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching. We are to go. We are to go out into our communities, out into our families, out into our workplaces and our schools and into our sports clubs. And we're to be witnesses through how we live and through how we speak, and by simply just inviting people to church. And we are to baptize, we're to bring people into the fellowship of our church. And we're to teach people the word of God and to preach the gospel and show people what Jesus was like and how we can live our lives for him. We're disciple makers. And this discipleship process is lifelong. When I became a Christian about a quarter of a century ago, that wasn't the end of my discipleship. That was the beginning of this journey, because I still have more things to learn about who Jesus is and what it means to follow him in this world. As a church, we are called to be disciple makers, and we do that by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. Over the next few weeks, as we continue on in this series, we're going to be just unpacking this a bit more and thinking practically how we can do this, both generally and specifically in the next few months as church remains to be under restrictions. But church has a purpose. Our purpose is to love God, to love others, and to make disciples. And when a church focuses on this and is relentlessly pursuing after all those three purposes, it is not only life-changing, but it is world-changing. I believe that it is only in the purposes of church do we find the purpose of our own life. Every human is on a quest, trying to find identity, affinity, and meaning, trying to answer the questions of who am I, where do I belong, and what is my purpose in life? And the answer to all those questions is found in church. We were made to worship. We are created in the image of God. The more we know him and glorify him, the more we truly find ourselves. And in God's family, we find a welcoming acceptance and a loving fellowship. And when we join with God in his mission, we find our calling in life. When Jesus invites us to church, He's not inviting us to look at a building or to attend a service. He is inviting us to belong to his people that love God, love others, and that make disciples. Let's take a moment and let's pray. Father God, thank you for your church that you are building on the cornerstone of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you that through his blood, you have called us into your holy fellowship of worship, service, and mission. Come, Holy Spirit, help us to love as we have been loved. Empower us as we go to make disciples of all nations for the glory and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.